Hello everyone and welcome to today's Daily Wrap. As you can imagine, the first topic for discussion is Floyd's departure from the EFF. Now, that is grist to our media mill, as there's nothing like something happening controversial in the EFF to grab our attention. And basically, Floyd Chivambo has resigned from the EFF as Julius Malema's 2RC. And we've just come out of a media conference by the EFF where Julius spoke. He looked angry, he looked sad, he looked dumbfounded almost. And what he didn't do was look at Floyd at any point in his in the discussion. And when he finished talking and saying, you know, that personal decisions have to be respected, and saying that Floyd is not our enemy, which may be questionable, and that Julius would die with his EFF flag on, that was the end of the announcement. Floyd has gone to MK to provide his intellectual prowess, which by all accounts he was known as something of the EFF's brains guy, and presumably a fair amount of organizing skill, which they can certainly do with. John, not another day in South African politics.
Yeah, it never gets boring, even for a single moment. What I found interesting about the announcement is that Floyd Chivambo said that he'd been offered a senior leadership position in MK. And it begs the question, like, he was the number two in South Africa's fourth largest party. So is he stepping up or is he stepping down by switching to a different employer, effectively? And he might have felt that within the EFF, there was a glass ceiling. He couldn't really advance beyond where he was currently. He might also have felt that with the EFF shedding 18% of the number of its votes compared to 2019, that the EFF is not really the place where the action is happening. And so he decided to throw in his lot with what he considered maybe to be the more promising vehicle, that being MK. But on the receiving side at MK, you know, I think we should also be wondering how an additional senior leader is going to be received, because we've got several already, not least Jacob Zuma himself, his daughter, Duduzile Zuma Zambudla, John Chlope. So there's already a lot of, you know, a big beasts in that party. So where is he going to slot in? Without knowing more at this stage, I think we might expect that there's going to be some trouble within MK as the power relations between those big politicians are recalibrated and defined. So overall, not an easy time for the left in South Africa. I think the EFF is weakened by Chivambo's departure, and EFF is not, and MK is not necessarily strengthened by receiving him.
Well, I think one of the problems is there's been rumors for quite a while of tensions between Malema and Chivambo over leadership. I think Chivambo has seen Malema as being a bit floppy and unreliable and very much, I suppose, the trays of the sort of supreme leader. And so this has been going on for some time, and it became really fairly public at that huge FNB birthday bash they held last year, where Malema not only made remarks in the stadium that hinted at something going wrong with the relationship, but apparently had said something much more specific at the dinner a day or two before. So I imagine that glass ceilings is very much at issue in this, and they've been together since the start. But you know, the problem for in both that I think Chivambo, as you allude to, will have to deal with in MK as well. MK and EFF are both personality parties. Zuma on the one hand, Malema on the other. I'm not sure that speaks to, shall we say, career progression for Floyd.
Mm. And I think overall, there's also this background consideration, which I think I read a quote by Einstein once talking about the Nazis in Germany, where he said that autocratic, authoritarian movements like this typically are not really stable. And the reason is that they are staffed by people who are willing to use violence, to use subterfuge, to betray each other. So the trust issue is always there in the background. And I can imagine how Julius Malema must be feeling now. You know, he's I think, been very ruthless in asserting his leadership, his dominance within the party, So, you know, dismissing employees, dismissing MPs, and ruling the party with an iron fist as he saw fit. And I think within that kind of environment, having a trusted ally like Floyd Shivambu, I think, was for him, mm-hmm. now departing, must really be very, very painful. That must mm-hmm. be really tough for Malema. But this problem... this problem, I think, is also going to be present in MK because mm-hmm. it is driven by similar dynamics. You know, there's lots of talk of the involvement of the construction mafia, for example. You know, Jacob Zuma is not an entirely clean vest necessarily. He surrounded himself by people who themselves have credible allegations of corruption against them. And that really makes it hard to build a stable party. And it probably does need ruthlessness, an iron fist, and then hope for the best.
Mm. No, I think we watch with interest because I think once this sort of break has happened within the EFF, instability is very likely. Having made enormous gains in KZN in 2019, they fell back disastrously in this last election, particularly in KZN. And that had a lot to do with having got rid of, chastised the KwaZulu-Natal EFF leader. So the seeds were already being perhaps sown, and we'll see where that takes us. Now, something completely different is that there has been, by all accounts, agreement between the president and Business Unity South Africa and its leaders, and the business community has reiterated its intention to continue to help the government with areas it started little over a year ago, which is infrastructure, crime, I've suddenly gone blank on the third one, but particularly obviously things like railways and ports. And there seems to be that reaffirmation that big business in South Africa will continue to help the government, particularly now given you've got the status of the GNU. On the other hand, the government has tried to issue a compact on health and support of the NHI, which business is not at all happy with, and certainly won't sign in its current agreement in its current form, because it again on health, the ANC seems to have done very little to accommodate businesses' concerns. So you've got these two dynamics happening all at once. Do you think the business community might be getting a little sort of more muscular about what it expects in return from business?
I think that is probably what is happening. Yeah, exactly. So our colleague Jonathan Katzen-Ellenbogen had a good piece on The Daily Friend a couple of days ago where he pointed out that business had been called upon by government to come to the party. And as he rightly points out, business has been at the party for a long time. Has been, you know, offering to make contributions, has been making contributions, but has, I think, mostly played quite a subservient role to the government. It has mostly been a policy taker, not a policy maker, not very assertive. And in this new constellation, we're going to see a recalibration of power relations between business and government happening, for example. And I think that as much as there is potential for conflict and confrontation between the two parties, I think there's also probably greater receptiveness in government quarters for business to state its needs clearly, and maybe also to state its opposition to certain policies clearly. So it's very useful of the business sector to have expressed its reservations now forcefully over the NHI once again. And I think it might find that it is able to get far further than it was in the past when it expresses its concerns. We are very much in a situation where a quid pro quo relationship is the only one that can really produce the results that both sides want. The government, I think, is now anxious to see the economy growing. It wants to see business helping fix infrastructure, be that in logistics, in power, in other areas, in water. Municipalities have been raised as areas now. But for that to happen, I think it has to be like a two-way street. Both sides need to get something out of that. And so, yes, we probably are seeing a recalibration.
So finally, John, I presume that this is going to hint at some tensions within the ANC between the old guard, who wants things as they were, which possibly includes looting and corruption, and the young, perhaps the younger guard, who has seen, appears through saying through the utterances of people like David Masondo and Ronald Lamola to be at least not so hidebound. They seem to see that change has to happen for the ANC to survive.
Yeah, exactly. I think it is a question of survival. And you know, as much as the ANC's motivation has been to discover a model of sustainable wealth extraction, I think they must have realized that the model they were pursuing was not sustainable. Some members in the ANC, I think, have not realized that yet, and they would prefer to go back into a relationship with EFF or MK, which are also very much focused on wealth extraction and not so much about sustainability. But I think the more insightful personalities within the ANC, the more pragmatic personalities, do realize that if they want the ANC to survive and their own access to power, to resources, to be kept in place, then they do need to lift the performance of the government and of the economy. So that pragmatism, I think, is allied with a close sense of survival and perhaps of existential threat if this is not pulled off.
And the ructions in the EFF might well make that environment more amenable, because the possibility, the alternatives are not as reliable as they might otherwise have been. John, thank you very much. And please join us for the longer live edition of Daily Friend Show tomorrow. And who knows? We don't know what will happen by then. Anything can happen.
Anything can happen.